Hi, welcome to AfterBuzz Westworld. We're going to be talking about this new episode, Virtue Fortuna. Oh, it tastes so good. Oh, yummy, yummy. Oh, come back. We talk about it.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
Oh, my gosh. Ooh, this is so fun. And then it wasn't.
Just settle into it. Yeah.
The last thing I expected to hear on the sitar was White Stripes.
It's a good cover, though.
It fits so well. It fits so well.
Yeah. Welcome to Westworld. We're talking about all the sort of things. I'm Dave. Introduce yourself, everybody.
I'm Joelle.
Hey, guys. How's it going? Carrie here.
I'm Bernard. Just kidding. I'm Nate. Yeah.
Or am I?
Dun, dun, dun.
Or is he?
Bernard.
Full panel.
Yeah, full panel.
Hey!
First full panel. This is the host. These are the hosts for the rest of the season, and we are all robots.
That doesn't look like anything to me.
Yeah, you keep saying that, man. Every time you look at these cityscapes in the back, you're just like, doesn't look like anything. Okay, so we're going to talk about this new episode, episode 3 of season 2, Virtue Fortuna. Did we actually find out what that means?
Can you look that Virtue and Fortune.
It's Latin.
Virtue and Fortune,
that's
yeah.
That's it. It's very easily translatable Latin.
Okay, Virtue and Fortune. It's
yes.
Done.
No one is virtuous in this episode, though. I know that. Well, I guess maybe right at the end. You're right.
In the middle. They use that a lot. There's also, we'll get to that in a little bit. But I do want to start talking about the first new park that we've seen. In the Westworld. We don't know what park number this is.
No.
But you guys were saying that they've updated the website, the Delos website. And we do have a name for it because in my notes I'm just calling it India World or Jungle Book World.
Oh, boy.
But it actually does have a name. What is it?
It's called The Raj. Like the fancy new nightclub. I feel like we should do an SNL skit.
For a while.
Happened to The Raj.
Sometime last season... actually, at the end of the season, when people were going crazy data mining the website for more information, there was the name Raj World was found. So that was the working name that the theorists were using.
It just
kind of
sounds like it's weird because it sounds like just a guy named Raj. His world.
It's the Raj.
It's just my world.
It's the Raj.
It's the Raj world.
You come ride the elephant.
Okay, let's.
No, please no.
Okay, all right.
I
know where the line is. But you did the Italian, and that was.
That Italians
that's
you can make fun of. Italians.
Oh, okay.
Italians are just.
All right. We know where the line is now.
They're just white people that make yummy stuff. It's you can't. There's a line, but you're just accessing past memories. That's all that was happening there. So it's fine. Speaking of, I thought this world, the Raj, was like. It's interesting because when you think of Westworld, you think it was a park built for people trying to kind of recapture that American dream of the West. And this was this kind of British colonial dream. Of,
the colonizers were strong.
Yeah. It was,
I mean,
super colonizers, super like, I just want to go someplace where I can have the people who live there be my servants. And then I'm going to go off and kill beautiful animals.
But if you think about the time period, so you're looking at like mid-1800s to early 1900s, maybe 1920. Like, there's whole eras of romantic fiction that evolved in that, like,
right.
In that area, in that space, in that time. The Little Princess, there's a lot of recalls to that. Mm-hmm. So it makes sense to me that that would sell.
Just oh, totally.
I don't think
of,
people
like,
should
the West.
Go there, though. I would feel very dirty.
Well,
being
it's
there.
Like going on the Jungle Cruise at Disneyland, and you're just like, oh, it's like the romanticized version of that time. It's a similar vibe. Yeah. If you're going to ignore,
except there's not a bunch of brown people serving you there.
No,
yeah,
well,
but that's because
that
it's
part.
In
yeah.
Okay, we're all getting excited. I think the thing is, it's like you got to remember who they're catering to, and it's the super, 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 super rich.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
It's like the extra rich. So, of course, they're going to want. To have the most richest kind of colonization, like, well, white people shit that they're going to have. It's like, I thought it was kind of very on the mark because it kind of showed really what the park was for. And it's for the rich.
It's
so
just
it
decadence, for
it looked
sure.
to me like it might have even been like almost like a World War I era. especially with that pistol that she used.
I think so. I think it's like of that time period.
Right. 20s, 30s, 40s. So it might be another one of those things of it's just a place where they can, you know, do whatever they want to do, but they've got that setting of the backdrop of the war going on in that
area.
And
it seems to be a big part of maybe one of the main games of that world is like hunting. Because they brought that up a lot.
The idea of big game hunting where you're not actually hurting endangered species is thrilling.
That's actually a good idea, yeah.
Like, skip all the park if I could just go to the hunting part and be like, you won't be hurt. Mm-hmm. It's like exciting and thrilling, and no actual animals will die.
Right, or actually hurt you.
ABK88 says, where's Shuri to call the colonizers on their shit?
Shuri should have been there.
Yeah, yeah.
Help him out. Being like, no.
We're taking those guys down.
Some people in chat said it had an Indiana Jones vibe, too. See, like, that's almost a romanticizing of that.
Definitely. Yeah. All and, that jungle exploration.
So we have two characters here, and they're kind of hooking up and also realizing that they're not hosts. But we don't know really what their names are. Mm-hmm. I mean, I tried to even look them up on IMDb.
Hold on.
Well, they don't say it to each other, and they don't introduce themselves.
They don't say it to each other. They don't introduce. I don't think we need to find it, but
we hadn't seen that guy before, right?
We haven't seen the guy.
Very familiar to me, so I wasn't sure.
Grace, by the way, it is Grace, according to Entertainment Weekly. Yeah.
We're gonna see her again. I'm sure.
Okay, yeah, I'm sure because what we see from her is that she finds she's going Bengal hunting. She finds the Bengal, and also it seems like everything that has been happening to the other park has just now started happening at this park. Mm-hmm. So we have a good time frame.
She's like an introverted version of the Man in the Black Hat. Like as far as like and his introduction as Man in the Black Hat before we know his whole back history and everything.
Yeah, we don't know
like,
if she's introverted.
She's like a hunter. Not introverted. What I mean is he's all like lusty and power, and I'm gonna like control everything here, and I'm very into this game. She is very into this game, but she also like I don't want to have sex with robots, or at least that was the vibe that I was getting from her.
What I'm getting from her also is that she's distrustful, and you get a sense that maybe she knows what's going on behind the park.
Yeah, she's definitely not she's not a new player.
Yeah, it's all that.
No,
that data mining also that's actually happening. Because that's why she doesn't want to sleep with a robot. She doesn't want that being captured. She was distrustful of even the mirror. Like, she looked at the mirror during the... Well, I wouldn't put it past them to make one of us think that we're real and really we're hosts. Also, I do have to point out, she was never shot. It was never really tested.
Exactly. A couple people pointing that out in the chat, too. It's like, you shoot him, but he never shot her or asked.
Yeah.
Yeah. Also, I forgot about that part too. But her booklet, Joelle and I both noticed when we were watching that I my second time through I paused it to look, and it's like a map, and it's not really a map of anything of any significance, but there is like an emblem that's sketched on the map. I'm not sure if it's just like an emblem that's there or if it's supposed to be like a location on the map. But we see that emblem later on. When Bernard is in Abernathy's head.
Oh,
so she's got to be part of, I don't know if this is, she's part of like the same group that Charlotte Hale is in, and it's just in a different part of the park.
Yeah.
But she's definitely got some ulterior motive going on she was trying to keep hidden from that guy.
There's what's interesting is we see the end of her story when she gets attacked by the Bengal.
Supposed end.
Of this. No, no. Yeah. Well, I'm saying
this episode.
The end of the episode.
Yeah. The conclusion of her little mini arc.
Yes. Right. We see her again washing up on the shore of Westworld and encountering Native Americans.
The White Nation.
So going
Ghost
from
Nation.
India
Ghost
to
Nation.
Ghost
weird.
Nation. And
I was thinking go to that the part. White on their paint. You know.
Yeah, they're known as Ghost Nation, I think, also because of their connection with the spiritualism of what's actually happening. They connected it with them being ghosts and them being gods that are coming down.
But you guys
remind me to come back to that later when we do predictions.
Okay, before we move on from Grace, I just want to point out, is this the first time that we've seen two humans have sexual intercourse on the show?
That's hard to say. I feel like yes.
I think it is. It's a very interesting thing to me. It seems like everybody goes to these parks as an escapism, and the idea of a genuine human connection is not really what they're looking for. As we talked about last week, like being with you was like looking into a mirror, and everybody likes looking in the mirror. It's interesting that this is the first character not interested in that at all.
Right.
Who's human as far as we know?
Two quick things. Xavier Jones says she's a double agent from a rival company. Also, with the Ghost Nation, quite a few people are thinking that they are awake and doing like their own special things slash protecting people.
That's what I was going to bring up. I think there's maybe... We also see the Ghost Nation going after Lee Sizemore, specifically going after him, mm-hmm. Later on in the episode. So maybe when she washed ashore, she could even be controlling the Ghost Nation. Because one of the things we're noticing from this week's episode and previous episodes is how Westworld and the world works out is you find the captain of it, you befriend them, you have them give you their men.
Their faction.
And then suddenly they're under your control. And that seems to be a big way of kind of rising up the ranks in Westworld and potentially all the other worlds too. Okay, so let's move to, I think, the main storyline that's happening right now with Dolores slash Wyatt showing up to going up to the fort. And she's looking to get her own men. She's looking to get... In the previous episode, she got a good group of Federales from...
Confederals.
Master Major Craddock, which is a great name, the guy with the mustache. Mm. And I thought that was her getting her army, but she has to go to the actual tyrant.
She needs cannon fodder, pretty much.
That turns out what she wants. And I love the, talking about what's happening, who the fighters are going to be, having him look at the gun and how powerful the gun is.
Mm-hmm. I mean, that's a good, just... as far as a military trait, that's just a really good trade to be like, so you're using these weapons, take forever to load and only have so many shots. Here's a gun where you mm-hmm. can literally take out a person in 2 seconds. And then, man, I feel really bad for that engineer. He had his face melted off and was then just used as kind of like a test presentation.
Yes.
It's really sad.
Yeah.
But I like that we're getting more of her military strategy, and it looks like we'll be going more into that, like, guerrilla warfare we had when the guys showed up with their, like, ATVs, and especially as we move into other areas.
I love the soldiers. They're like, what are those?
Yeah, the faces are just like, this is not, those are,
this is not what we signed up for, yeah.
Yeah, because they have no idea of all this stuff. And also we see that she introduces herself as Wyatt when she walks up, so she still... has a lot of clout with Wyatt. And, of course, when she sees Abernathy, I guess we're skipping a little bit ahead of Bernard and Hale. Oh, yeah, we should talk about... Oh, we'll get back to that in a second. Mm-hmm. Sorry,
There's a lot going on.
So let's put a pin in Dolores right now and just go back a little bit and talk about Bernard and Hale... and how they are reunited after, this is the 11 months after the incident. So this is when everything has gone topsy-turvy and all the people came by and the flood has happened. Bernard says, I did that. All that stuff has happened. So we're at that time period.
11 months?
Yeah, I believe that's what it was.
Or is it 11 days? I think it's like, it's
11 days.
Yeah, it's been 11 days.
It's like 11 months.
Before we get to that, random quick thought. Somebody suggested that the girl in Raj World is Man in Black's daughter.
Potentially. Your phone liked that idea.
I was like, that could be really interesting. And then also quick thought, too, is that the Ghost Nation have Maeve's daughter, but as a way of protecting her.
Maybe.
You know who else is protecting us?
Who?
Looking out for us. Oh. Making sure that we get, like, really good guidance and information. It's Maria Menounos. For those of you who want to learn and have fun and grow in all areas of your life, we have a really great podcast for you. Conversations with Maria Menounos Podcast Edition is hosted by our AfterBuzz TV founder and drops every Friday on iTunes. Conversations with Maria Menounos feature celebrity and influencer interviews along with secrets and tips on how to be better in all aspects of your life. From health and wellness to career, relationships, finances, and more, let our Maria be the big sister you've always wanted. Just go to iTunes and subscribe to Conversations with Maria Menounos for free. Be sure to rate and comment, and when you do, let Maria know it was us who sent you there. Conversations with Maria Menounos Podcast Edition. Check it out.
Yeah. Do it. All right. So back to where we are with 11 days. Yes. 11 days later, Bernard is with the military group that have come down, and they go into the tunnel where to get behind the scenes, and they see how, like, it's just a bunch of bodies.
Call back to the original movie, by the way.
How so?
Just in that, I believe, if I'm remembering correctly, we do have a person on fire running down the hall. The whole just long gray hallways without really knowing where you're going. Like, a lot of the visual aesthetic was from the final climactic scene of the film. And I thought it was just a really nice time to just be like, hey guys, we're in a throwback. Just remember the source material.
Just remember it.
I love that when the girl's giving the report, she's like listing everything that's going off. She's like, yeah, floors 42 through 45 are still on fire. And it's like, okay, they're on fire. It happened. And then we see her with the flamethrower, and it's like, oh, that's why it's on fire. Why. I love that she's in there with the dragon.
Yes. Oh, that was great to find out she's alive. We were like, yes.
Yeah, I was really, I thought we weren't going to get Armistice back. So I'm really glad.
Yeah, it's really good to get Armistice.
When we got her in episode two in the flashback, and she was the sheriff, I knew she was going to be back. So.
Yeah, I kind of knew she was going to be back. And I'm curious about, like, ingrained in her story is to go against Wyatt, so I don't know if there's going to be something, a confrontation between her and Wyatt Dolores when they meet up. But yes, okay, we'll get to that in a second. But I also want to talk about just, we have Bernard meeting up with Hale, and they're talking about
that was fun and awkward. She's like, "Oh, you got out," and you're like,
"Oh, you're safe."
Oh.
Okay. Yeah, and it also showed that maybe they haven't seen each other since they split up during this time. There's a big question of what has been happening during those 11 days, and that's what a lot of this flashback is about.
It also shades in the fact that Bernard has nowhere safe. Everybody is like, you are suspect, sir.
Right.
Oh, I like the quick test, though, to find out if someone's a host or not, like the neck thing. I'm like, I know, but it was nice to remind
it. It's good to be a reminder, because that is something that we're never quite sure of.
Yeah.
So it's good that they have that.
Like, and they need more of those.
But we know Bernard passes that test, right? Did they do the test on him? Or no, they just looked at his picture and they were like, the one guy came in.
They
did the
fingerprint thing on the doorway, and that was like a DNA thing. Test, but that's not a device possibly in your neck to be like host or
anything. Right. Okay. So talking about Peter Abernathy and like do you know where he is? We seem to keep losing track of him. That brings us back to the flashback of what's happening during those 11 days. And with Dolores, and also meeting up with Peter Abernathy, saving him from... okay, so I love Rebus.
Oh, Stephen Ogg?
Yeah, and it's great that have him be such a part of this because of Grand Theft Auto.
Oh, I'm so sorry. Oh, he's coming back. You know they just created like a Billy the Kid. He's going to swoop in one of these episodes and be like,
smoke him. It was so funny, too, switch and be virtuous, right. And everyone's pointing out like that, I will escort you. Let me help you.
He's out there. He's still out there. We're going to find out she's fine. Well, we saved her.
We do see his end, though, because in the first episode of season 3.
Right, yeah, he's out. He is out there.
There is that question.
But we don't know if they need air.
I mean, we still have all these 11 days.
Maybe they're sleeping.
And also, it does answer the question of why in that first episode of episode 3, when he goes like, "Don't hand the lady," and you're wondering like, why is that guy defending?
Why is he acting like that?
Why is he a white man?
I forgot about that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's they answer that. And I also love this new superpower that Bernard has, which is being able to hack into people, like direct line. Yeah.
Yes.
And it's something
they've always done. So if he can keep his own hands steady as he's touching those numbers.
I know.
I was waiting for him to get some more brain juice.
Yeah, he needs. Yeah. Does he need more brain juice?
He couldn't even walk. It seems like he's got a leak. He was limping, too.
And that's
right. He's really hurting. And also, I think he's just trying to figure out. I think a lot of that is physical forms of the existential crisis.
Oh, yes. Absolutely.
I don't know. We're seeing a lot of the same shaking in Abernathy.
That might be true. So we're back with Abernathy, and he has a whole thing going on where he keeps going in between all the different characters that he has. But he also has, we find out he has this thin veil of a storyline to get him onto the train.
Yes.
It's like a third personality that's
right,
like cheaply made.
Because the last time we saw him, Hale was trying to get all this information into him. Mm-hmm. And to get him out of the park.
Yep.
That was Hale's mission.
Well, it's smart, given the thing of, like, can you get on the train and get out? Like, so that's, he's trying to complete his mission.
Yeah, and he's also disguised as one of the guests for the opening. Hilarious. So he just looks like one of the many guests.
Yeah.
And I can't imagine being, like, tied up with him. He's like, this guy's really losing it. He's
it's just, not good.
I gotta get to the train.
Yeah, Lewis Hertham, I loved his acting in this, too, of, like, the twitches and the vocal... all the noises he was making, it was just like,
He's doing like, I'm really curious about what he's doing with this character, because we have this great moment when he does end up with Dolores, where Dolores is talking to him, and it just reminded me of like talking to a father with dementia. and talking to someone who's suffering from Alzheimer's, where it just unrecognizable, and then this brief moment where it just takes you right back to the relationship, and they're talking. You see Dolores is missing being Dolores in a lot of ways, and the warmth that he had as a father, but she also knows that's all fake, and it realizes this was really well-written episode, because when she talks about, and you always said what you, what everything that you said when every morning you said, are you going to take in this natural splendor? Something like that. Natural splendor was enough of a trigger for her to be like, it's not natural. None of this is natural.
Yeah.
So it was just, you saw that in the moment. And it was a great scene.
Well, splendor is a word we've heard programmed into them a lot.
Yeah.
Especially in these just these first three episodes. And I love how we're getting these moments of like, that's clearly your programming. That's a choice, and trying to figure out like how what that range is is really interesting.
And that's you recognizing that that's just your programming, which is another thing.
But every time there's a repeated word or phrase or sentence, I'm like, oh, who's so controlling this game really?
Right.
Well, not a programming thing, but could Bernard be trying to upload any of the stuff from Abernathy to himself?
I don't think so, because I think he needs to be directly... I don't think there's a Wi-Fi.
I mean, we never see it, but could he directly plug in somehow?
He might eventually do that.
Yeah.
But also, just to check in, what is all that information is basically a core code. It, we saw one access use, like a key of one access.
He was able to get into one thing,
Yeah, he kind of forced, he had been trying to
one
force
of them
it
unlocked.
In.
Right.
And he kind of busted.
And that's basically all the information that'll unlock everything that they've been getting of all the data mining of all these rich folk. That is really the game plan of Hale. That's what we assume.
Yeah, there is some valuable information that was gathered at the park that they want extracted. We
the
don't
show
know exactly
as always
what it is.
Is just like, this is the surface thing.
Yeah.
This could be really what's under it.
Here's an answer. Here's two more questions.
Yeah, yeah. But right now we think it's to access the stuff that Hale and the Man in Black have been trying to mine. And
also just what she needs to get out of the park.
Yes.
Not coming to get her until she has it.
Right, right. And that, so it's a, it, basically his name should be Peter MacGuffin, because he's kind of what everyone's trying to go after. And but it's
I think there's more to it, though.
Yeah, and so we see, okay, so right now they're at the fort. They're at Fort Lost, what is it, Lost Good?
Lost
Forlorn Hope.
Forlorn Hope.
Yeah, Forlorn Hope. And they're preparing for an attack. The attack happens. They're cannon fodder. But they're not able to keep Peter Abernathy in with them because Hale comes in through the back door. And also, you got to remember when Dolores also said, is really like, you know, protective of Peter Abernathy, but also knows that's because of the secrets in him.
Mm-hmm.
But it's also part of her programming that she's kind of has, that she recognizes as programming, so that because she's awake, but she has a connection with him as a father.
Do you think she knows?
Well, she knows, because Bernard said, oh, there's all this stuff happening.
Hidden in there.
Bernard just tells her.
Yeah.
That this is like...
Well, I know he tells her what is wrong, that there is like, that he's fighting with the different personalities. Maybe I need to watch it again. I thought she could see the
tablet device and see
no,
that there's
I don't
stuff
think she
on.
Was there when
well,
he was
no, no,
forcing
he,
it.
He also said, she knows that there's information on there that they want.
Okay.
Because remember, he's like, you know, anywhere you go with him...
Oh, you're right. Yeah,
they're
she
going
says that,
to look
they're
for
follow.
Him. Then she's like, bring him on.
Yeah.
So she knows, so he's important to her emotionally, but also I think she knows that
she's
a MacGuffin. And also needs to keep hold of him. But also remember when she turns to Teddy and says, you're the only one I have left, because that's kind of connects her to Dolores.
That was like a death knell, dude.
Yeah.
I was like, that's it for Teddy.
But you also, and it always remembers, they're setting up this interesting storyline with her and Teddy, because you have the first episode where it's, hey, this ends with me and you. This ends with me and you. Kind of going off having a happy ending. Then we see that Teddy's dead in the water. And also, I was reminded when looking at his IMDb, just to make sure, okay, his name is Teddy, because he just so many different names. His name's Teddy Flood. That's his last name.
Yeah.
His last name is Flood.
Yep.
Oops.
And that's like a death, that's saying how he dies.
Yeah.
So, and this might be why, because she tells him to take the rest of the Federales that survive.
I want to ask you guys before we get too far, what did you think of that battle action sequence?
What do you mean?
I liked it. I thought it was good.
Okay.
Again, I'm excited to see the mashing up of different war styles. To me, like, It's one of my favorite things about fantasy that I don't think is utilized enough. It's like, oh, well, they're just having like an airship battle, or oh, it's like a ground battle. But like, people have very distinct ways of fighting. And so to see like an old Western style fighting with the wood barricades,
well, that's come up against,
like, modern technology.
I was surprised that with the security detail kind of just walking out, it kind of felt like they didn't have a lot of cover.
Faces exposed, and like some of them went down.
Yeah, and they didn't have a lot of cover, and I thought that was like, if I think about it too hard, it's a little.
So this but is why I asked.
Cannon fodder. Okay.
Yeah, I was gonna say, what were
because
you getting at?
I love this show. This is my favorite show on TV. The production quality is insane, but you can't be perfect at everything. I think the focus on the narrative and the story, especially this episode, is great. But I think this is it's an awful action sequence. Like you even noticed the first time you saw it. There's like no bullet sprays. There's no intensity. You're not like in it at all. You're just kind of like watching it happen. And then also the way the guards act, it's just not.
Well,
it's just, what I get from them, and especially how cinematic they can be at certain times, it was very, very underwhelming.
Yeah.
So I'm really glad that this is not really a Western show. That there's all this other thought that is that's what is the show is about, and that's why it didn't ruin the episode for me, but. If we get another battle later on the season, I really hope they spend some more time, like, getting some coverage that gets you in it, because it was just not.
I'll agree with you about, like, the design elements as far as, like, the dirt, the bullets. But it felt like these guys were then cannon fodder, because she comes up, she's like, who are those guys? Because they were initially, it seemed to me, they were just ending up one group.
Right.
Guys were maybe going to, like, slip in the back, do what they got to do, and get out. And she was like, yeah, they're actually going to come with me. And then they sent out this other entire wave.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if both sides are playing at the same game is kind of what I walked away from that battle with.
Right. I think I think the mission was to get Abernathy, really. And while the security forces are just trying to take down as many of the power players as they can, as many of the dangerous
people.
I just one note I want to say from the perspective is I think this was from Dolores' perspective, which is
that
why
would
we
be
weren't.
My thought.
Yeah, which is why we weren't really down there, and we were seeing the chess pieces,
right?
Mm-hmm. Rather than actually being a chess piece.
I get that.
Tunde in the chat says security detail was garbage. Might as well just hand them their P90s.
Yeah.
It was
a
like,
weird fight.
The
like,
intensity
it was a little strange.
of some of the fights at the
few
end of season one.
You. Mm-hmm.
Like, especially in the hallway, like, so good. Mm, like, the timing, the edits, the angles. There's just certain ways that you shoot action in gunfights.
It just
and
was
this
weird.
Was not it.
They didn't have enough cover, in my mind. Like, it's weird
well,
that
they did, but you never see them shoot for cover. There's no shots of them peeking. There's no barrel shots.
Right.
There's
well,
no
apparently
aim shot. You see the shot, because that's what you want to see when you're seeing gun shoot. That's how you shoot action.
Right.
But this is what happens when you have people who are not making an action TV show shoot an extended action sequence.
True. It wasn't a battle of the monsters.
And even then... exactly.
Yeah. That
and,
it was
and,
not.
And I would... I mean, that's an incredibly high standard, but come on, it's HBO.
It's this HBO.
Like, and they've been building this up, too, kind of. Like,
this
clash of
battle.
These forces, that there's going to be all these big people, these different fighting styles, like you said.
Well, they have other moments even better. Like, when they first arrive, and then... And Dolores has the people come out of the woods. That was more dramatic.
Yeah,
that moment,
yeah.
I'm like, oh.
All right, I don't want to spend too much time on this.
Okay, yeah. We move on. I also think they were just like, it was basically just an excuse to see a lot of explosions.
Yeah, and see Dolores' plan, too.
Yeah.
Also, I want to note, before we move on, that Clementine has become this, like...
Well, Angela, too.
Angela is just like is still has this consciousness to her still, but Clementine's like this scary, like deathless robot assassin thing.
I think she's still kind of like.
Oh, I think she's off for sure.
So like she
Angela's
and she's like
kind of
super strong.
Stuff.
I love how she just drags people like it's no big deal. It's like,
I mean, as we're talking about virtues, it's clear that we're not necessarily here to save everybody. I mean, she says multiple times, like, not everybody deserves to survive.
Mm-hmm.
And I wouldn't put it past her to program certain people to do what it is she needs them to do.
Yeah. And I also...
She's very practical.
We also have, like, she doesn't quite have Maeve's ability to try, or Maeve what used to... Maeve used to have, which is try to, like, is able to kind of Jedi mind trick a lot of these people.
Mm-hmm.
She doesn't really do that. She does this with her influence... And her ability as Wyatt to control Wyatt's men. And also, like, then she's, you know, gets Federales and now she can control Federales. But most of the people that are on her side is because they've convinced them to be on
her
side. Mm-hmm.
She's rationalizing with them in the terms of that world.
Which brings us back to Teddy. And when Teddy goes off to shoot those men, he lets them go. And that's going to be a big conflict. And it also brings us back to the virtues of him.
Oh, Dolores' look at him like, oh, you're so disappointed.
She knew it, though.
So
it was a test. Yeah. She knew it.
But
it
was she still was disappointed, like,
because it was interesting that it's in the same episode where Rebus is basically programmed to become Teddy and then save everyone. And then we see Teddy do what he was always programmed to be, which is be a virtuous man and like let these people go. And I think that's going to be a big dividing factor. And also that brings us to Maeve, who's in the who's escaping with Lee Sizemore, is trying to go to find her kid. Which she's programmed to find her kid. And then also with Hector, right?
Yeah.
Hector.
Yes.
And Lee brings up something really interesting in the tunnels, which is the fact that they're holding hands and Lee freaks out and is like, you guys aren't like programmed to fall in love with each other. Which does like a few different things. Because we have to also remember that Maeve actually went into the programming of Hector and changed his programming to basically line up with hers. And be dependent on her. This isn't a choice Hector is having.
Yeah.
I think that's something important to remember. And that Lee has kind of pinpointed and figured out.
Well, it's interesting, too, that Lee is not... I mean, he's the writes the narrative, but it doesn't seem like he has a programmer mindset to be like, wait, how are you guys liking each other? Because he just goes, oh, this can't happen. I think it'd be more interesting if he's like... wait, how is this happening?
But that harks right back to season one when he's talking to the CEO and he's like, I know something else is happening. She's like, but you don't know what it is, do you? No, you're stupid. Stop. Right. And I feel like he's a purely emotionally driven character. And what I found most interesting about this scene was like, your writer, of course, part of yourself is in these stories. And it's interesting that Hector is the him version.
And
that
she
was able to call him out on that so quickly.
He's just having nerd rage. I feel like this always happens. Yeah. Especially as
this is not how my fan fiction is supposed to go. I know. Okay, you guys are not supposed to be together.
It's basically all we do at AfterBuzz is talk about the shows that we like, and I feel like a lot of he's just having the discussion. Like, I don't get why these two characters are hooking up. It doesn't make sense. I do not ship them.
They're attracted to each other, but that's it.
That's like, totally against your character motivation. Okay, come on, writers.
But it goes down back into his writer brain, and you see his own like virtues and subconscious.
But also, you see Maeve bend for the first time with him, where she's like, you know what? Holding hands is stupid.
I was sad. If you want to do it.
Well, from there, you kind of get, I feel like that's more of her, that's her just waking up more. I mean, like, you know what? You're right. This is, again, kind of like we had earlier, where it's like they're recognizing, like, oh, this is the programming.
Maeve does not, also is
but
like.
But if she's not programmed to like him, Maeve why couldn't she like him organically?
I know, possibly, but also Hector's not programmed to like her, but she is now. So Hector is being manipulated by Maeve, and I think when that discovery happens, and if Hector wakes up, it's going to be a problem because she's basically acting like the people that run the park with Hector. Why do you think that?
I think the lines are very blurry at this point. I think in the beginning for sure, but even then, even when they were first, the whole thing that she spent with him was to get him to join her willingly.
That's
and
true.
So, like an organic relationship building.
So she definitely manipulated.
Sex on the safe.
Yeah, she didn't change.
Safe sex. Hashtag safe sex.
She didn't change his cornerstones. She just, you know, she gave him some new skills and dropped his pain tolerance raised it to 100,000%. But she didn't change who he was. He came of that choice to follow her. And I think that's part of the reason that the whole Isabella scene is really important too, because he even says, like, all that time I spent up there where you're creating us, seeing how everything goes down, I realized she's not real.
Right, but he says it in his pre-coded language. Uh-huh. Like, and this is my problem with, like...
When you have a child, right, these hosts are like children becoming adults. They're realizing what they are. They're learning to follow their own voice, but they're still... Part of them is still that person that how they were raised. They still speak in the same language and lines and stuff that they would. It may be about different things. Like that line is supposed to be about Isabella, but now it's not. But that it's still part of his subconscious. Yeah. It's still who he is.
I would say that if we didn't see her go into his like code and change it.
She doesn't change. She does. She doesn't change his like.
I'm saying there's the gray. There's the question about whether he really loves her or not.
It's blurry.
Yes. Yeah. Okay. That's okay. Now that we've defined the blurry, now we can see something definite, which is man on fire running down the hall. And we get to come back to Armistice with a cool robot hand.
Yes. Was she talking before? Did she talk last season?
She talked.
And I was like,
oh, yeah, she's so cool.
She doesn't talk often.
She usually just has one badass phrase and goes shoots people. Yeah, yeah, yes. yeah. But she had a whole talk about like what her tattoos mean and everything. She talks a lot. And we also see
Sylvester and Felix, which it'll be online shortly. I was able to speak with Leonardo.
We don't have that queued up. It's going to be somewhere else.
No, I'll post it online. It's not up yet. But check that out, because then I was like, so is Felix coming back? And he's like, well, just wait for the next episode kind of thing. And I was like, oh, and now he's back. So I think there'll be more with
him. So we'll have a nice little like
it's good timing.
Nice little tiny interview with Felix.
Yeah, and he's working on a movie, so you can look at that soon.
Nice. The cats are back.
Yes.
The cats are back. These are characters that I have a little I don't know. They're my like kind of weak spot of Westworld, to be a little honest.
Mm-hmm. Qua? Felix, really?
He's my favorite.
It's only because I like the actors a lot, but I think that I just didn't understand. They're like rewatching the first season. I'm just like, why are they following everything that Maeve does?
Because they're the schleps. I really like the idea of like, especially in a work environment where you're just like, I don't care. I don't get paid enough to deal with people putting knives to my throat. Uh-huh. Like, whatever I got to do to get out of here, it's fine. I like the idea of like, just how is the average Joe dealing with this freaking job, this crazy job?
They seem to make it pretty clear that Daedalus does not really take care of the lower level employees. No. They kind of treat them like cattle. Well, so I feel like if that was me, I would, sign me up. Robot Revolution.
Okay.
I was able to speak with him last year at the same festival, and then I was like, so is Felix in love with Maeve? And it's like, well, who wouldn't be? It's like he's just following, and then it's at the bottom of the food chain, probably isn't treated well whatsoever, and then this like awesome being is like, do you want to follow along? And he's like, okay.
Also, I would imagine too, if you're any type of techie or programmer, you know, you have these theories about AI and stuff, and now this thing that you worked with is now alive and is basically like a demigod, super strong, can control beings.
Working with the bird before, and now this is a way cooler project.
I'm glad he's back into play because I think now is a chance to really see what they're going to do.
Mm-hmm.
And they're trying to get to the Sierra Mountains. They're trying to get to where their family is. But Lee Sizemore does not know the park very well.
The Klondike narrative.
And they do not end up. At first, I thought they were going to lead up like, oh, no, they're going to meet cannibals. Because when it's Westworld and there's snow, the people are eating each other. But what we find instead is that they're at Shogun World.
I do want to point out really quick, I think it's very important, the whole Ghost Nation coming after Sizemore too.
Uh-huh.
And Maeve trying her Jedi mind trick and it not working on the Ghost Nation.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, Joelle was making a good point. Technically, she's not speaking their language, if that matters.
I don't know if they need to hear Lakota, but maybe. I know that I'm sure that the programming for different spaces and different bots have different code words.
Makes sense.
And she knows the Westworld community. Okay.
True. And it could also be because someone else is in charge of the Ghost Nation.
That's my theory. Yes. I think it's like a relic of Ford's plan. Or this is where Elsie is. She's reprogrammed the Ghost Nation to save people.
But we saw Lee program some Ghost Nation stuff last season, right?
But that was before the new narrative.
Fair.
Mm-hmm.
Right. That was before Ford's narrative journey tonight.
We know that they're...
We've seen... Yeah. So, because they took... what's his name?
Which one? Give me some hints.
The Daedalus guy that looks like Matt Damon.
Oh, he's a Hemsworth.
Brad.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. The Brad? Little one.
Yeah, I always forget about that.
Yeah. They took him, right? Last time we saw him. Now he's alive.
Mm-hmm.
And when they're coming after Sizemore, it's not like they're, like, throwing their spears and axes. It's almost like a police, like...
Yeah, he's coming with us.
Don't hurt nobody. Okay, we just can take him with us, right?
And this is a...
And then they show up to find the girl. How do they know that she's there?
Right.
It doesn't seem too threatening. I mean, they could kidnap her and do something crazy, but I think they're out there saving humans.
It could also be maybe they haven't started doing this until Grace shows up, who's from the beginning of this episode. Mm-hmm. We also know Elsie. This is a bit of a spoiler, so if you don't want to hear this, you know, we're almost done anyway, so you can stop listening to us. But
spoiler alert!
But Shannon Woodward has tweeted that Elsie is going to return in some way or form. Nice. We don't know if this is through a flashback.
Yeah, it could be a flashback on this
or
show.
Or we don't know if she is still alive. We don't know. There's no body, so no death. Yeah. So she could still come back. I guess so it ends with Shogun World, and we know that they're stuck. They're stuck in that world, and they need to figure out. And now we know how Maeve gets the saber.
It's my least favorite cliffhanger in Westworld history.
Yeah, it's a tease for something that's already been teased. They teased it at the end of season one. Like, if you're going to show it to us, show it to us. Don't, like, we're all going to come up next week to see the episode.
I mean, they just got to end the episode somehow. And there was a lot of threads that should just have the ending.
End with the head, dude. The head was perfect. You're like, oh, decapitated head. Scary. And they could have just left it from there.
I guess. I mean, it was just fine for me.
I thought it was cool.
Yeah, it's just like, it's just a way to end it.
It felt anticlimactic. I'm like, there's a sound in the woods.
But the head was more climactic?
Yeah.
It just felt the same.
Because a cliffhanger leaves you wanting to, you're like, what is going to happen next? But now they're going to fight. They're going to jump back in and they're going to be fighting.
No, they're probably going to be over. No, they'll jump ahead. Yeah.
They can do that too. Yeah,
that's even worse.
They do that a lot when they're jumping around in time.
That's even worse.
So any other predictions that we have? We can also talk about what's on the next week on that we saw.
And now, you're after Buzz TV.
We didn't really ask it specifically, but do we think that Hale knows or highly suspects Bernard is not human now?
I feel like...
The way she looked at him, the way she talked to him.
She's suspicious about what his motives are.
Okay.
But I'm not sure. I'm not sure.
I have another mini spoiler.
Uh-huh.
This is from one of the teasers. Some people may have seen it, some people have not. There is a shot of Hale in like a room that's just like got like copies of Bernard.
Right.
So this may happen after, or this may have happened in between.
So
after
they're separated. But at least she'll discover this.
She did definitely like I can see why some of it would be like the, hey, I asked you to help me look for this guy and now I haven't found him. He seems to keep slipping away and here you are unharmed.
Yeah, but also it could be
like, yo, I know you're a robot, what's up?
Yeah.
Yeah, it could be. I feel like she doesn't know, but she's suspicious of him right now.
If she does know, it's interesting that she keeps it to herself at this
why?
Point.
Well, I mean, some people I've seen this theory out that people think everybody knows at that point. Like when he walks up and they have Bernard's face on that card and just kind of the way that some people treat him, some people are thinking that this whole thing has just been like, let him walk around and think.
Let's see what he does.
Yeah, and just see where he shows us and see what.
I don't think so. Yeah. I think the cards are just, these are the people you should look for.
Yeah,
these
maybe,
are the people
maybe,
in charge.
Maybe.
And we don't know who's controlling Bernard. We don't know if Bernard's controlling Bernard. We don't know if Dolores is controlling Bernard. And we don't know if maybe Hale put something in Bernard that we don't know yet.
I think he's controlling himself.
I think so too, but we also just don't know.
Yes,
we're surviving off in the programming show, that was already.
So that's something there. And we do see next week that it looks like in the next week the Man in Black is back.
Yes.
And he talks to our Federales who escaped Major Craddock. And we know that if you befriend Major Craddock, you get a host of men. So it may be Man in Black is
we don't know how many
are left.
They left.
At least get five or six men.
Like six guys.
Much less of an army, more, you know, like a small militia. But also we know that as much as been designed of the game that he's on right now, is he's supposed to do it alone. So it would be interesting to me if he was able to get an army now.
Well, what do you mean by that?
Because, what was it, episode one? They were like,
episode
he went
two.
Last episode, he went to go get an army, and they all killed themselves. And then Giancarlo Esposito was like, you got to do this on your own.
Well, that was because of that guy kind of waking up and being like, I'm not going to let you take over this army. I'm going to order
this. To be like, hey, just like the girl from last season.
The little girl turns around and looks up at him. This maze is not for you. Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah.
That's Bernard. I mean, that's Arnold who programmed
the
girl.
Arnold's
a girl. Arnold's a girl, and he's just like leaving stuff open.
That's Robert.
Okay, but I'm saying it's Arnold. I'm saying like that's what I think, and that's what you think.
Right.
But I think what ended up happening is Ford is leaving the maze open for the people that are already there.
Mm-hmm.
But it's also Ford is like putting his stuff. The maze to get to
of your sentience.
Sentience. He's leaving the stuff. Anyways, we got to wrap. Mm-hmm. I'm glad we can end on this episode.
What questions?
But thank you for joining us. Where can they find you, Nate?
Oh, guys, you can find me on all social media at DogLikeNate.
And you guys can find me online at Carrie D. Lane. That's K-A-R-I-D-L-A-N-E. Thank you very much for chiming in the chat. If you didn't watch it live, no worries. Comment down below.
Hi, guys. I'm Joelle Monique. You can find me all over the internet. At Joelle Monique, Nerdist is a Black Panther documentary coming out. I was able to go and do that today. It was super awesome, so check that coming out soon. And then again, if you're going to be in Ontario, California, not next weekend, but the following weekend for the Comic-Con, I will be there. I've got 2 Star Wars panels, including one on Thrawn, a Darkwing Duck panel, and I'm so excited to talk to Jason Aaron about Scalped and the Legendary comics. So if you see me, say hey.
Nice. And I'm Dave Child. You can find me at mrdavechild or davechild.com. If you disagree with any of the stuff we're talking about, please talk to us on all these social medias. Also, feel free to please give us 5 stars, follow us on iTunes, subscribe, do all that stuff. We love you, and we'll see you next week. Thanks, bye.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later. There's
someone coming. The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.